There is a hook in me. You can't see it, but it's there.
I'll fucking find you! What's your name, huh? Fuck!
Look, I'm just... There's been some talk in the community about your conduct. And you know how this stuff works, man. It's just shit rolls downhill.
This demands a result. Not a fucking appeasement. If I don't do this... I'm never fucking sleeping again, bro. I'm here because 8 years ago...
Saved my life, man.
And I know you're a man who pays his debts. Mike, I can't get him out through the embassy. I need you. We all have to pay our debts. So pay your fucking debt.
In art, the more personalized you are, the better. It's better to make personalized decisions rather than generic ones. For instance, if you're writing a story and it's a detective story, it's better to find an exact setting, an exact background for your character, and an exact even philosophy behind the narrative, rather than just focusing on the flashlights in the dark and the evidence and the investigation and just like the beats of the story. This is why the random, run-of-the-mill CW show or Hallmark show is very replaceable, but when HBO launched True Detective, that really took to the hearts and minds of millions of people. It's because True Detective became specific. It was set in Louisiana, of all places, and the narratives behind our main characters was a very dark and complex one, their worldview nihilistic, and the horror story that they were unearthing and finding out about was strangely gothic and like mythical and mystical. And even our main character suffered from some kind of schizophrenia where he saw specters of the future and tornadoes in the sky. It created this thing that was so bizarre and yet really profound in its specificity. Now, while this is advice about how to make better art, better novels, be a better actor, it is also the story of the game of status. I recently read this book, The Status Game, and in it, author Will Storr writes, "The status game is deeply implicated in the great human hungers. If you want to rule the world, save the world, buy the world, or fuck the world, the first thing to pursue is status. It's the golden key that unlocks our dreams. And so if you want to make people like you more, if you want to have more of an impact, you actually have to learn this game that you're already playing. It is a game, but it also is like a deadly one, and it is inherent to the human condition. In this video, I want to cover some of the best ideas that I came up with about status, my own take on them, and also the profoundly simple ways that people sort of mess it up. They misdirect what status is and what isn't. They kind of come across as goofy as a result. So let's get into it. Now, the first idea is the foundation behind status, but it's not status itself. And that's money and fitness. Money and fitness are foundational to status. You need them before you can start really playing the status game, but they are not the thing itself. This is why when your odd gym bro puts up a bunch of shirtless selfies of him on Instagram, he doesn't actually look that cool, even if his body is fantastic. Or when a rich person flexes their car or their beautiful house, or even if they're on a yacht full of like a bunch of women in bikinis and it seems like they're having a party, it doesn't actually seem that profound. It's because there is no action, there is no purpose in what they are showing off, and we as an audience can feel that. Consider Batman, for example. Batman's got the body. Batman also definitely has the money. But he isn't telling the story of either of those things. The story that he's telling is about Gotham, his city, the city that he loves, and the city he wants to save. Suddenly, the Lamborghini that he drives has a meaning. He's driving it on the way to the hospital to prevent it from exploding. Or the fact that he's doing push-ups in the dungeon with an absolutely like incredible physique, or doing weighted pull-ups, it matters all of a sudden. And it's not because the physique itself is impressive, though it is. It's because he's building up his body to take on his enemies. There is meaning in the action, and the meaning of status comes from the action. But too many people confuse the foundation behind them, the money and the fitness and all the things that come with it, with status itself, whereas it's not. Now, with that out of the way, where does your status come from in the modern world? And how can you bring it to its full potential to really make a dent in the world? There's four ideas I want to share in this regard. The first, choose an archetype because it is your competitive advantage in life. I came up with this idea of the archetype, choosing basically a role that is true to you and who you really are on a deep level. And this is useful because it plays to your strengths. For instance, let's say you're an introvert. You don't have an easy time talking to people, but you love reading books and you're incredibly observant. And because you've been reading for so many years, your vocabulary is really strong and you can identify ways to label different things or bring synergy between different ideas just because your mind was built that way. You would not make a great socialite, you know? You wouldn't make a great pickup artist or maybe a startup CEO who like motivates other people. I mean, you could maybe train yourself up to do it, but it's not inherent to who you are. But what you could be is a writer, and an absolutely fantastic writer. And it's just an archetype that we build ourselves into because it's true to ourselves, and then we can maximize off of it. The writer in the 21st century is incredibly powerful. They always have been. William Shakespeare, Arthur Miller, Tennessee Williams, all the great writers in the last several hundred years, they've had an impact on the world just because of the way they can speak and the language that they bring into the minds of others. Other great archetypes, the businessman, the athlete, the rock star, the actor, the magician, the playboy, the scientist, the engineer, the aviator, the adventurer. Honestly, I just came up with these random words, but they also have their own image that goes with it. And it's something that if you thought about, you could understand. You've got an archetype. You've got this thing that is a swirling combination of who you are. And it's so incredibly true to you. And the best shot you have at winning the status game in life is to dig deeper into that rather than trying to be something else. For me, I realized I was the director. And that was a kind of a bizarre realization over the years because I've actually always wanted to be an actor.
Yeah, let me just see what this looks like.
But at some point I had to acknowledge that I'm actually, you know, I'm not that good. I'm decent, you know, I'm like a 7 out of 10 actor. That's nowhere near world-class status. It's not enough to like really make a dent in the world of acting. But I'm like a 7 out of 10 at a lot of different things. I'm good at holding a camera. I'm decent at composition. I'm decent-ish at editing, at least with timing. I know how to direct people and block different people. I've gotten really great at pre-production. I'm like a middling combination of so many different things, and I'm able to orchestrate all of these things between different people. I mean, that's a director. I even had a conversation with everyone on my team about this, like, what is your archetype? And they all landed at different things, and even their take into different things, you know, was their own journey. For instance, my editor, Thomas, he's amazing at VFX, and he makes these awesome short films on his own YouTube channel. They're always seeped in with his knowledge and love of VFX, even if it's in a simple way, like the way a type moves across the screen as he says a word, and the way it, like, melts out of frame, or something like that. And so I asked him, you know, what is your archetype? And he says, maybe I'm the editor. I'm like, I don't think you're the editor, even though your expertise comes from VFX. I think you are also the director.
Do you ever feel embarrassed when you upload a video? Like, do you feel like you show too much of yourself?
I think there's almost a fear that people won't expect this from me or like it coming from me.
Like the cat video.
Like the cat video. Like, yeah. So afraid of showing a more sensitive side of myself online because that's not the way I've built my brand.
And we all have our own kind of advantage that we really could identify and seep into. But too many of us, we think we need to adopt a little bit of everyone's thing when rather you just need to dig deeper to who you already have always been. An important aspect of this regard that I think should be acknowledged is that you should never hyphenate your archetype. And this is something that's really common in Hollywood. You know, people say, you know, what's your job? And they'll just say, oh, you know, I'm an actor, writer, director, producer, investor. If you're too many things, you're nothing. And so you almost have to force yourself to pick one because it is in the depths of one thing where you find specificity, and in that specificity, power. So that's principle one, choose an archetype. The second then is to build off of your archetype. If you're a filmmaker, how does he or she dress? Where does he live? What assets does he have? You want to create a vision around what like the final form version of your archetype could be. You're going to build up status by becoming very well known, ideally in a specific community. You can't be global until you're really well known for what you do. And being world class in something is something that's going to take years. But what you can do is identify the full potential of your archetype in one specific community. A great way to easily like come into this is with clothing. Clothes really can make the man. In one study, it's called Economic Status Cues from Clothes Affect Perceived Competence from Faces, participants were shown photos of people wearing either rich clothes or poor clothes, and they automatically assumed those in wealthier looking outfits were significantly more competent and of higher status. Now, this effect was still there even if the participants were told in advance, hey, the clothes don't matter, they're completely irrelevant, like the clothes are irrelevant to this person's position in life. Even if they were told, like, everyone here makes 80K a year, they're all from the Midwest, they all make 80K, the people in a certain, like, clothing, they were identified as higher status. And the craziest part of this study is that these detection systems were made in a single flash of a photo, lasting 129 milliseconds. So the clothes, both the ones we wear and how we feel in them, and the way people perceive us, that judgment and that judgment about our archetype and our place in it is incredibly quick. So this is why, actually, the money game is a foundation to status, but it's not that game itself, is because it allows you to explore what the final form version, you know, of your archetype looks like. The third idea then is organizations, brands, and events. Now, you don't need to be in the public eye necessarily, but as you sort of work on your archetype and you work on the actions of the work that you're doing, you do want to choose a platform where you house your branding and identity. This could be a personal website, it could be Instagram. YouTube obviously is a fantastic place to house your personal brand. And then once you have your platform, once you have a place where you store your digital front, you want to create partnerships that make sense. At the very least, create dream partnerships that you would eventually want to work towards. For instance, if you're an adventurer, you know, you love hiking and travel and the outdoors and just being like a manly man who chops wood, you could actually form an ambassador partnership. You know, there's this company called Filson, who's actually one of my coaching clients turned me on to. They've been making really high-end apparel for adventurers for a long time. Or for instance, if you're really into motorcycling, you could attend the occasional moto night that your community regularly hosts. Basically, no matter what your identity is, you can find partnerships with brands that people would recognize or associate you with. There is an idea called Dunbar's number, basically says that our brains can only house up to 150 names, brands, faces, things. You know, one of those could be Coca-Cola, one of those could be Nike, and one of those could be your friend from high school. But in total, our brain only thinks about 150 total people at most who might be in our tribe. This is why if I, you know, go out with some girl and I tell her about Jake Gyllenhaal and my love of him in some movie of his, you know, Prisoners maybe, she hasn't thought about Jake Gyllenhaal in 8 years because he's not a part of her Dunbar's number. Whereas I think about Jake Gyllenhaal like with some frequency, probably like once every 5 days, just because I think he's so cool. Like, so you can't be everything to everyone, but you can sort of create your archetype and then find associations, especially in your own community, associations, partnerships, programs, locations that make sense for the archetype that you're building. This video is brought to you by the Captain Sinbad YouTuber Group Coaching Academy. Recently, I was having a conversation with someone who's been through my coaching program, who's now been getting great results. He had his first video cross 100,000 views, several other videos cross 80,000. He's on his way to 10,000 subscribers and beyond, and in fact is building out a great business backend that's going to allow him to be a successful YouTuber, a content creator for years to come. And I asked him, why is it so easy for you to do the work now? And he basically said it's because he has a system. He has a system for making work that he's proud of. I want to make videos that move people, that people realize were hard to make. They took effort, they took time, and they crafted a message that is really specific. In fact, that's the basis of this entire video, creating a signature for yourself that is really special. And you'll probably find that your favorite artists, whether it's in music or cinema or on online content creation, they have a very specific voice that they've tapped into, but that specificity is best found through a system. And a lot of YouTubers, when they start out, they put in a lot of time making videos, but those hours are put into the wrong things. And so they're basically shooting in the dark, not getting results. And the way the platform works, if you put in time on the right things and you level up the right aspects of the creation process, your views don't just go up by 50 views or 100 views. You can easily 100x your views because it's a logarithmic scale. It's exponential. I mean, numerous people have gotten 700,000 views, even 1 million views on a single video after joining the academy. And this is because we believe in intention. So if you're someone who wants to get to 100,000 subscribers and beyond on YouTube, and on top of that, build out a business side to your channel. No matter what industry you're in, having a brand that people can associate with you, that they know where your expertise lies in, it's really, really the only way to market yourself in the 21st century. There's an application form in the description box. We have a limited number of slots for our next cohort starting in June. Now back to the video. You're probably not in most people's Dunbar number, you know, unless you're already a celebrity, and then you would not be watching this video, I bet. However, you could readily form connections with places that are already in some people's mental space. And that's just by forming partnerships. My trainer, for instance, he just formed a partnership with InnoSups. And this is based off of his modest YouTube channel, you know, that I occasionally talk to him about, and his excellent physique. And even when I didn't have any digital presence online, I still managed to shoot commercials with like Wells Fargo, Cadillac, Sleep Number. And I managed to form connections with people in the Twin Cities Film Festival, for instance, just because I was trying to dig deeper into my archetype. And so I was able to form some kind of partnerships, even though I was still early in my journey. You can form partnerships, you know, and that's what you definitely need to do. You need to sort of dig deeper into the organizations that are around you and see what you can learn from them. No matter your station, you could at least make a list of brands or organization connections that you could make or eventually would want to make to increase your social capital. The final front of this then is events. Events are actually the most high status thing you could do for yourself because they help solidify your vision of yourself, your archetype of yourself, into an action. And I accidentally stumbled upon this idea 2 years ago because I was making a video on a Bollywood director series, basically a parody of one Bollywood director that I really like, Zoya Akhtar. And to capture some of this footage, I needed to shoot a scene of like people on a boat hosting a party. I just threw the party. Instead of like trying to find a boat that I could get on, you know, someone else's boat and like film their thing, I was like, okay, the sponsor gave me $3,000. I'll just go on the boat and I'll like go on the boat party. And so I found myself accidentally doing one of the highest status things I would do because as a result of throwing this party, 60 people came on this big ass boat that was my boat, you know, at least for those 4 hours. It was my boat and they had the time of their life. What that party did for my social standing was far more significant than what it did for my channel's growth at the time. Because at the time, I didn't have many friends. But everyone who came on that boat, they put up some Instagram post or something about it, of them on the boat, or eating and drinking and having a good time. And they all had to interact with me, the host. And because that event was also working towards one of my personal projects, a YouTube video, they all had to kind of go through me. They all had to interact with me and see me basically in the thick of living out my archetype. It was accidentally a deeply status-building endeavor. There's a reason Leonardo DiCaprio holding a cocktail with fireworks behind him from The Great Gatsby, that shot of him like this, is the meme poster child for a man with status. It's because the guy who throws parties that people attend inherently builds status. The party doesn't have to be at your house, but the party or the project has to be happening, and it has to be attached to you and your archetype and what you're working on. You can use the organizations you're part of, you can work inside the events of different venues you participate in, and the parties, they carry a lot more weight when they are bled in with the project that you're working on. A few weeks ago, I was having a chat with Thomas, and he told me one of the coolest experiences he had in recent years was going to a film festival in actually Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and being able to premiere one of his short films, Voyeurism. And the response of the audience in real time, being in that environment and being able to show off his project to a live audience, he said was deeply meaningful. And so these steps, they build very slowly, but they're incredibly rewarding. And that way you don't feel like a phony either. You don't feel like you're fronting because you're not just taking a photo of your abs, the freaking salad that you ate, or even, you know, your dope car. You're showing off, you're displaying your project to a community, to an organization that you're immersed in and a part of. And that is incredibly status building. It literally draws people into your life because they see you being a real person. You know, they see you being Batman instead of the guy who's just obsessed with his own physique. This brings me to the last point, and one that is, you know, as important as any of the others. And that is, don't front. Genuinely be immersed in your life and your projects. The thing with all of these ideas is that there's a very fine line between actually doing the thing and then just trying to look like you're doing the thing. No one really knows the difference, at least on a surface level, if you are actually living out the archetype of a writer or a director or an entrepreneur or a businessman, whatever it might be. No one knows if you're actually doing it or if you're just fronting. Except the honesty of what you are trying to do does sort of bleed through. And we can sort of sense this desperation in people's acquisition of status. At least I feel I can. You can sense it when someone's like doing it for real and they really are like a craftsman of their work, as opposed to the people who just want to show off, you know, and make it look like they're doing something. It's tempting. Often in life, it's tempting to just make it seem like you're something rather than to do the thing for real, because doing the thing for real is more painful. It usually takes longer and you look like a lot more of an idiot behind the scenes when you're actually doing something for real. But it also is like the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. Be the thing for real. And that is the most high status version of yourself you could be. And it's going to magnetize people into your own life. I can say this with immense confidence because it wasn't long ago that I was doing it for fake. Like about a year ago, I think I was just incredibly insecure about certain aspects of my life. And I was fronting, you know, I was fronting even being a YouTuber, a cinematographer, a director, all this stuff. I was kind of doing the thing, but I was also bullshitting myself and bullshitting the world. And now, hopefully you can sense when I make this video, man, I'm not bullshitting you. I'm actually trying to do these things for real. Whatever results I'm producing, even if they are middling results, it is a genuine effort. And all I ever do now is I share the journey. I share the process of what I am working on rather than fake elements of it. I genuinely share the events, the projects, the place in life that I'm at when it's the real thing and when I've earned it, you know? And it's weird because you don't get feedback from the world as often, but when you do, you know it's a real thing. You know that you've put in work. You've set aside this time to gather experience and invest in efforting towards something rather than just taking a fucking shot of your meal, you know, to let everyone know you've got some abs. Really, the heart of status lies in building up that archetype and working towards some event, some project. You go down the funnel of choosing an archetype, bringing it to its potential over, you know, years, and then eventually turning it into associations. You become more and more a part of other people's Dunbar number, and then you really take over the game. You know, you take up real estate in people's minds, not just as a phony or a fronter, but the real fucking thing. If you're new to the channel, my name is Nikhil. This channel features video essays for creatives with a love of cinematography built in and that same genuine intent of wanting to reach your potential as an archetype. If that's something that appeals to you, then consider subscribing. But with that being said, for those of us who choose that specific angle, that competitive advantage that is true to us, and then we try to structure our lives around the great projects that put us into action, to us I say greatness is coming. We'll catch you soon.